Good morning, everybody. Great to see you this morning as we come together for our Connect service. A special word of welcome if you're visiting us. If you are joining us online for the first time, we're delighted to have you worshiping with us. And today, as part of our Connect service, we're delighted to welcome Kyle Harris, who's here to share with us. Kyle is part of the ministry team at St. Mary's Ballybean, and he's going to be sharing with us today about the work of Open Doors. And Open Doors is one of our partner agencies who work with the persecuted church right across the world. And so Kyle is going to be sharing a little bit about that work. And there are some materials out in the foyer after the service. And hopefully you might get the chance to speak to Kyle and take some of those materials away. But he's got some really powerful information to share with us as part of our service today. Hopefully on your way in, you'll have seen the notices for the week that is to come. I wanted to mention a couple of things in particular that are happening this week. On Tuesday at 12 noon, we have the funeral service in the church of Ray Hamilton. And then on Tuesday evening, we're continuing our series of community picnics. And they're happening hopefully outside and not inside like we were last week. But if you'd like to come along, invite a friend or neighbour. We're just inviting people to use our grounds. We have some games and some activities that'll be on offer around the place. And it's just an opportunity to meet our neighbours. And so those picnics are taking place on Tuesday evenings throughout June and July from 5:30 to 7:30. So do come along if you're free. Also wanted to mention on Wednesday morning at 10:30 in Clark's funeral home in Newton Orange, the funeral service of Mrs. Alice Ray is taking place. That's at 10:30 on Wednesday morning in Clark's of Newton Orange. There's no Zoom prayers over the next 3 weeks, but next Sunday our services are Holy Communion at 9, Holy Communion at 11, and next Sunday evening at 7, the service of Compline. But as we come together this morning, we're going to just quieten down and focus, and we're going to invite God's presence to be right at the heart of all that we do. As we share our opening prayer together, you'll find that prayer on the screen this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in worship and praise. We ask that you would bless our time together today and that each person would be open to hearing your word and would respond in loving obedience. So we're going to stand together to sing our opening song, and it's a song that reminds us of whose presence we are in as we sing together, King of Kings, Majesty.
Thank you.
So let's take our seats again. At this point in our service this morning, we come to that point where we think back on the week that is past and we take a quiet moment to do that. And there are times when maybe we haven't been the people that God would want us to be. And we acknowledge that before God this morning. And we seek his pardon and his peace and the opportunity to make a fresh start. Let's just be still before him before we confess our sins and say sorry to him. We pray together, God of everlasting love, God of everlasting love, we confess that we have been unfaithful to our covenant with you and with one another. We have worshipped other gods, money, power, greed, and convenience. We have served our own self-interest instead of serving only you and your people. We have not loved our neighbor as you have commanded, nor have we rightly loved ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, and bring us back into the fullness of our covenant with you and one another, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Lord, we ask that you would grant to all your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And in response to God's mercy and his forgiveness, we sing Before the Throne of God Above. If you'd like to take your seats, I'm going to invite Brian to bring our Bible reading this morning.
This morning's reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak round you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." Here ends the reading.
So we're going to sing again in response to our Bible reading, and before Kyle comes to share with us, we sing "How Deep the Father's Love for Us."
Please be seated. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much, Lord, for what you're doing, Lord, around the world. Lord, I thank you, Father, even, Lord, in the midst of persecution, that your church is growing. Lord, I just pray this morning, Lord, that you would challenge every single one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So just as I begin, we are always told to introduce ourselves. So as John has already said, my name is Kyle Harris. I am the community outreach pastor in God's country over in St Mary's in Ballybean. I am a Ballybean boy, yes. I'm a very much working class boy. But I love Jesus. I absolutely love Jesus because he's changed my life. He has changed my family's life. I'm married to Susanna and I have been for the last 13 years. We have two sons, Seth, who's 9, and Judah, who is 6. Two absolute rocket ships, but two boys I wouldn't change for the world. My role as a community outreach pastor is basically I'm an evangelist and reaching into a difficult area in Ballybean, as you can imagine, all the problems that brings. But I just love to share about Jesus. I love to share his goodness. I love to share everything that he has done. And I love to share about his church. And as Christians, we are called one body and we are to share about our brothers and sisters around the world. So this morning, being here in my Open Doors capacity, I volunteer with Open Doors, and it's a real privilege to be here to talk about our persecuted brothers and sisters. I know that this church is a huge support and advocate for the persecuted church, so thank you for that. I could speak about this all day. I really, really could. I had the privilege a few years ago of going to Central Asia to work with the persecuted church, and it was the most inspiring, incredible experience of my life. I thought that I knew Jesus before I went, and that completely changed, because what he did on that trip was something that, if you want to know, come and speak to me at the end. It was unbelievable. But this morning, I really want to talk about an area, a particular area, and it's sub-Saharan Africa. Sub-Saharan Africa is basically at the moment the place where most persecution is happening, apart from North Korea, which is obviously number one. But you'll see why in a moment why I want to talk about sub-Saharan Africa. Persecution in this area of sub-Saharan Africa is growing at an alarming rate. The murder, the kidnap, and the harming of Christians in this area is vastly increasing. And all you need to do is turn on your news on a regular basis, or if you're a follower of Open Doors, you will see what is actually going on. As I said, the Bible is clear. When one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. We are called to suffer with them. But if we're honest, the world, we're forgetting about it. Do you know why? Because it's their problem in Africa, it's not our problem. Actually, it is our problem. If we love Jesus, it's our problem. You will watch a video in a moment from a guy called Pastor Barnabas. You might have heard it, you might have seen it or heard of it. And he says at the start of the video, no one is talking about it. The amount of Christians being killed in Nigeria at the moment is absolutely abhorrent. It's between 6 and 10 Christians every single day. It is abhorrent. And you'll see a video, as I said, in a moment. This morning, I want to challenge you. I want to speak to your heart to actually support our brothers and sisters, because this is what is going on. And we need more people like us in the West to stand up and to support them. Next slide, please. Next one. So, there's 388 million Christians worldwide at the moment are facing high levels of persecution and discrimination for their faith. To put that into context, that's 1 in every 7 Christians. So 1 in every 7 of us is facing, but when I say persecution, I don't mean the persecution that we think that we are facing here in the West, where maybe somebody's making fun of us, or somebody is saying something, or somebody is maybe doesn't like us because we're Christians. That's not persecution. This is persecution, where these people are daily have to make a decision whether to live or die for Christ. It is happening every single day. In Nigeria, there's two countries I'm going to speak to you about today. One's Nigeria, and the other one is Somalia. I'll speak about Nigeria first. In Nigeria, this is a daily decision. Next slide, please. Nearly 5,000 Christians were killed for their faith in 2025 alone. 3,500 of those were killed in Nigeria. If anybody's good at maths, you can work that out. Because I can't. That is every single day. That is what is going on. Nearly 3,500 believers were killed in Nigeria for their faith last year. And by going by the stats at the moment, that is going to be higher next year, or 2026. Next slide. 3,302 people were abducted last year. Again, the majority of them are in Nigeria. Who has heard about the persecution in Nigeria? It amazes me that not every person knows about this. Because this is going on right now. And some of the stories that I have heard even over the last few months have been incredible. Next slide, please. So let's first talk about Nigeria. Nigeria is actually number 7 on the World Watch List for the most persecuted places in the world. There's a World Watch List released every single year, and it is number 7. But Nigeria is without doubt the most violent place on earth to be a Christian. In the northeast of Nigeria, it is incredible what is going on. There's more Christians killed in Nigeria for their faith than all of the other countries of the world combined. I was at an Open Doors conference in London a couple of months ago, and the speaker there was incredible. He was from the northeastern part of Nigeria. And long story short, was he, as a family, they had to move out overnight because the Islamic extremists had taken over his city and town. So he had to move, and they moved and they fled to the Netherlands, not too far away from here. But then the Lord spoke to him that he and his family had to return to that place. And he did, in obedience. I don't know about you, but I know if I would go back. And every single day, he says goodbye to his wife and says the words, "If I don't see you in this lifetime, I'll see you in the next." Whilst he was with us, one of his pastors was murdered. This is 2026. And it's going on right now. Imagine telling your husband, your wife, your family, your friends, your children, "If I don't see you in this life, I'll see you in the next." Because that is what he is doing every single day, in obedience to God. What's God calling you to be obedient to? What's he calling me to be obedient to? Because I can guarantee you it isn't that. Next slide, please. 9 out of 10 Christians killed for their faith last year were in sub-Saharan Africa, and 70% of those were in Nigeria alone. That stat is one of the reasons why I volunteer with Open Doors. It's harrowing. Every time I share these things, you could hear a pin drop in the room. Because, honestly, the next time I hear somebody in the church in Northern Ireland saying they're facing persecution, I want to cry. Because that is not persecution. I have a second job, a secular employment, and I face persecution in that. But believe me, It's not persecution, it's a privilege. Where they have to make a daily decision about following Jesus or dying. Who here, I don't want you to raise your hands. Who here, if you were given that decision, is Jesus or death, would choose Jesus? And just be honest, because as that pastor said, if the answer is not Jesus, we are not in the right place with him. I know that hurts, but it's the truth. I can honestly stand here and say that my answer is Jesus. And it always will be. My wife always says, please don't say anything, please don't say anything. I have to, because God has made me bold. Do you choose Jesus or not? Next slide's a video.
Let me tell you, millions of Christians are displaced in whole Africa. News don't take it, don't carry it. Politicians, they don't talk about it. Government don't talk about it. Nobody talks about it. We are remaining in the darkness. As if we are being rejected. We don't even know where we are. Each and everyone you are seeing here, we are all Christians, and we are displaced because of violence. I was in the farm with my brother and my late brother's wife when we heard a rapid shooting gun sound. He said, we should run. It was during this time that my brother was being shot and killed by the militants. And my brother's wife was also shot and being macheted and killed by the militants. When they come to attack us, they call us Kaperi, that we don't have any religion. So that makes us understand that they are purely attacking Christians.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. God bless you all.
Amen.
It's Luhun Han. Kase Rume, Numnu Zilase. I will numnu Zilashafta because the chief of Kadisha Hinagas nigga there.
As a pastor, I am supposed to take care of these sheep. And being as a pastor in the camp, me too, I am displaced. I don't have anything to give them. We only pray together and share the word of God together.
Video hurts, doesn't it? It has to hurt. That quote from Pastor Barnabas on the screen, it gives me goosebumps every time that I read it. Because if we're honest, how often have we felt disappointed with God? How often have we felt sorry for ourselves in the circumstances that we have found ourselves? And what about our prayer life? In our prayer lives, do we go to God with a shopping list of wants, what we need, what we think we need, or do we actually go and praise? Those people in that camp have nothing. As he said, I can't give them anything, but yet they're still praising. They're still worshipping the King. So this morning, as we quickly look at the biblical text, and we strive to encounter more of Jesus through the lens of the persecuted church, we are going to be given three things. Next slide. So we're learning today about God of the impossible. Next slide. So our reading this morning is from Acts 12, when Peter is miraculously freed from prison. But let's remember that this happened immediately after James was put to death for his faith. So when we think about this passage and we put it in the context of our persecuted brothers and sisters, we find three impossible ways that God moves that I want to quickly talk to you about us today. Next slide. Firstly, through persecution. And some of what I've shared with you this morning, I know, is hard to hear. I know it is brutal, and I know that things seem bleak. But actually, this is just the tip of the iceberg. But we can make a difference. Because I want to encourage you today that what we are doing is working. Because even though the persecution is growing, more and more Christians are being killed for their faith. The church is growing. Because the Holy Spirit cannot be stopped. Where there's persecution, the Lord is raising up new people. And yet, we don't understand why. It's because of what the Lord is doing. Next slide. So this is a map of sub-Saharan Africa. And I'm sure when you see the amount of persecution happening in one continent, if you see that whole line from 21 across to number 2, which is Somalia. Yeah, I'm sure you're sitting here asking yourselves, what can I possibly do to help? I'm sitting here in St. Finian's on Sunday morning, going home to my lovely roast dinner. What can I do to help? I'll come back to this at the end. You'll see on the very right-hand side, the Horn of Africa, number 2. That is Somalia. Somalia, in the country of Somalia, if you own a Bible or you convert from Islam to Christianity, it will very likely lead in your death. Here's a story of a man called Awiz. I met this man a few months ago, and his story is incredible. Video, please.
Somali Christians are among the most extremely persecuted in the world. You could be sitting in a cafeteria enjoying your meal, and somebody could come and attempt to decapitate you, to cut your head off. It seems it's impossible for a Somali to become a Christian in Somalia. When I became a believer, I did not have a fellowship. I did not know any Christian. Then after 7 years, I met a young Somali Christian. I told him about me, about my faith, and he trusted me. He welcomed me. I knew that spiritual isolation and lack of fellowship ended. And together we were able to start our own fellowship of 2 people. And the Lord added to our number daily. So by the end of the year, we had 14 members. And that was really a big church in a context like Islamic Somalia. It was arguably the happiest time I had since I came to the Lord. But of the 14 members, only 2 remained because the remaining 12 were killed for their faith in 2 years. I came to the other surviving house church member and I told him, my friend, they found 12, they can find 2 of us. And I remember my friend adding, there's no way they can find us. There's no way they can find us. Don't go. And I told him that we needed to leave Somalia and go to another country. My name is Awais Ali. I'm a Somali Christian. If I lived in Somalia, I would be killed. Even though I left Somalia, my story did not stop there. I continued serving the Lord. I'm involved in Somali Bible translation, literature development, literacy training. When Somali Christians follow Jesus, one of the first things they need is discipleship, discipleship, discipleship. People thought that the Somali church growing was impossible because of all the killings, but what was impossible is in fact now possible because the growth of the church is huge in Somalia. Tertullian, a North African church writer, famously said that the blood of the martyr is the seed of the church. So no matter how much the threats continue coming, I'm determined to stay the course and never waver in my faith or in my ministry. Pray for us. Pray for us to continue growing and thriving in the midst of the persecution.
Next slide, please. The next impossible way that God moves is this, and it's through prayer. Never underestimate the power of prayer, because it is the most powerful weapon that we have to intercede on behalf of our brothers and sisters. It's the greatest thing that we can do. As I shared earlier, a couple of years ago, I went to Central Asia, and the minister really challenged me when I was speaking to him about how could I and how could we help, and he said this: I don't want you to pray for the persecution to stop, but rather that God gives us the strength and courage to stand in the face of it. We see persecution as a call, and it's a privilege to fight this battle for God. I don't know about you, but I need to spend more time on my knees. Next slide, please. Brother Andrew, the founder of Open Doors, said this: there's no borders, no prison walls, and no doors that are closed to us when we pray. The political, economic, military, and spiritual leaders of the world may not know our names, but we can have more influence on their plans than their closest advisors put together. While many things may be impossible from a human standpoint, in the realm of prayer, there are no impossibilities. You might not know them by name, but we serve a king who does. Thirdly and finally, next slide, please. The next impossible way that God moves is through powerful and direct intervention. We will never truly know what God has stopped in our lives to ensure that something happens. As humans, we just can't get our heads around it. You know, from Moses crossing the Red Sea to Daniel in the lion's den and everything in between, my challenge this morning is to stop limiting God. Because that's all we do. We limit him. But actually, we have a God that's so powerful and so mighty that we just can't fathom it. Wedge Volunteers for Open Doors, people have asked me so many times, but can I actually make a difference? The answer is yes, of course you can. Because we all serve a God who is powerful and can, and he will intervene. Persecution is growing, but so is the church. How does that happen? Because it's a direct intervention. Next slide as I come to an end. Just read that quote. The more I was threatened, the closer I got to Jesus. How does that actually happen? It's through the power, the presence, and the perfection of our God. What can we do? Next slide. There's lots that we can do. I've got many resources with me. If we run out, brilliant, because I can get more and I can get them to Jono. The most important thing that we can all do is pray. There's prayer diaries, there are world watch lists, there's everything we can get our hands on that you could individually pray for countries. My two sons nightly pray for the persecuted church countries. And they're 6 and 9. And I just know that the Lord is intervening on their behalf. There's also wee prayer cards I have with me. And it's a name of a person in Cameroon that you dedicate time to pray for. Do you know that person? No. Do I know them? No. But he knows them. So that's what we can do. Also, I also have to mention, I don't like mentioning it, but also we can financially give it all makes a huge difference. Example of this is £15 a month helps sustain a persecuted believer in Africa with emergency food and shelter. If you want to financially give, just come and speak to me at the end and I can get that sorted. Next slide. This is me and my two sons. Over Lent, we cycled the width of Nigeria. 750 miles. I did 500. The one in the middle, my oldest boy, he did 150, and my youngest boy did 100. We actually beat the target. We kept going, and we raised nearly £2,500. It's actually closer to £3,000, but gift aid. And to be honest, whilst the money is important, the awareness is far more important. Because actually this has created awareness in Stormont over, and this actually started by my youngest 6-year-old who wanted to do this. And I said to him, I said, Judah, if you want to do this, you have to cycle at least 100 miles. And he said, that's fine. And do you know what his reply was? Come and do China next year. I said, my legs haven't got China in them. This, if you influence your children, your grandchildren, one of the times I did an open doors talk, a guy ordered, it was like 15 or 20 of those kids with little passports, which are amazing. And it's just been given them out at schools. Make people aware of what is going on. And that is simple. Fundraising is massive. It makes a huge difference. But it's the awareness that makes more of a difference. Please, there's so many different ways. And as I come to a finish, the most important way that we can help is by this. This is the Arise Africa petition. And we are looking to try and to get 1 million signatures by the autumn this year. I can't remember how much it is at the moment. I think it's about 600,000, roughly. Every person should be putting their name on this sheet. This is basically for the government to take action about what is going on. I have loads of sheets out there, and I have pens that I've stolen from my house. If they don't work, you have your own pen. That's unfortunate. But please, please, please don't leave this place without signing this petition. Because actually, we get 1 million signatures, that will make a huge difference. And we'll be taking it to number 10, whoever the Prime Minister is by then. And it's also, there's politicians from over here that are involved. The first time ever this year, we were able to hold an Open Doors World Watch List release where Awise actually spoke in Stormont this year. And it was the most incredibly moving morning I've ever had. So it is, things are happening, but we need your help. All it takes is a signature, 30 seconds, and anything else you need, please come and speak to me. As Pastor Barnabas says, no one is speaking about it. This morning, I want you to go home and I want you to think, what are you going to do about it? Can we pray? Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much, Father, that even in the midst of what is going on, that your church is growing. I thank you, Father, for the faith of Pastor Barnabas and Awise, God, and so many others, God, that we, Lord, that we don't know, Lord, in sub-Saharan Africa. And I pray, Father, boldly that we get a million signatures. I pray, Father, that you would just come, Lord, that you would move by your Spirit, and Lord, that your church would continue to grow. But I pray, Father, that us in the West, Father, where we live, and it's such a comfortable world and society, I pray, Father, that you would awaken us. I pray, God, that you would wake us up. I pray, Father, that you would challenge us, that you would convict us. And I pray, Father, that today that you would put this on our hearts, how we can make a difference. Whether that be by prayer, by financially giving, by signing this petition, whatever. I pray, Father, that we will not, Lord, today, Lord, let us ourselves go to bed until we make a difference. I thank you, Father, just for everything that you're doing. And we just pray for more of your Holy Spirit to come and to bless us, Lord, and most importantly, our brothers and sisters around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much to Kyle for all that he has shared with us this morning. It's a sobering morning to hear these things, and yet it's so important that we do hear them and we do seek to respond and do what we can, because as Kyle pointed out, every single person can do something to make a difference. But we're reminded in our next song that we're going to sing together that there is a God who makes a difference in the world. And we're reminded that in the midst of all the awfulness and terribleness that we have heard about, He will hold me fast. Let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your church this morning, and we thank you for the freedom that we enjoy to worship you and to gather together in this place. We pray this morning for David, our bishop, in his leadership of this diocese. We ask you to grant to him wisdom, energy, and good judgment in all the decisions that he takes. But we pray especially this morning for our brothers and sisters around the world who are persecuted for their decision to follow you. We pray especially for the church in Nigeria and in the north of the country where so many are susceptible to violent attacks. We pray, Lord, that you would be in the midst of those suffering people today. We pray today for your church in Somalia We pray for those who take incredible risks every day to follow you in that place. We pray for communities where people have lost loved ones in the violence, and for all those places where Christian churches, farms, and homes have been burnt and destroyed. Lord, we ask that you would protect your people and that you'd give to them courage and faithfulness. May your kingdom grow through their faithful witness. And we ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We also want to pray this morning for those nations of the world that are devastated by hunger and natural disaster. We pray for Venezuela this time after the devastating earthquake last week. Lord God, we ask you to bless the relief efforts, that you would give strength to those who seek to comfort the bereaved and injured. We ask you to bless all who are seeking to provide shelter and emergency accommodation to those whose homes have been destroyed. And we ask you to be with all those people traumatized and exhausted by these terrible events. Bless your church on the ground, seeking to comfort and to help those affected in the community. We ask these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We also want to pray today for those who are on our hearts, who are sick or going through difficult things at the present time. We pray for the healing presence and love of Jesus to surround all who are in distress and those who are seeking to support and comfort them. And we take a quiet moment now just to bring to God those people who are in our thoughts and on our minds, who are going through really tough times right now. Lord, we want to lift before you all who mourn, as we remember particularly the Hamilton Family Circle and the Ray Family Circle, as they prepare for Ray and for Alice's funeral services in the coming days. And we pray, Father, that they would know your grace and comfort at this time of sad loss. Lord, in your mercy. So, merciful Father, we ask you to accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. As we think of God at work right across our world and right across the lands, that's the theme of the song of our offering, which we're going to sing together now, Across the Lands.
The power of your voice and the sound.
Let us pray. As we reflect on everything that we have heard this morning, and we think about what lies ahead in the week that is to come, we're going to pray for God's Spirit and His presence to be with us as we seek to live for Him throughout our lives. So let's join in the prayer, which you'll see on the screen, as we pray that we would walk in His light. We go into the world. We go into the world to walk in God's light, to rejoice in God's love, and to reflect God's glory. Be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May the lips that have sung your praise always speak the truth. May the ears which have heard your word listen only to what is good. And may our lives, as well as our worship, be always pleasing in your sight, for the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we bow our heads for God's blessing. May Christ, our exalted King, pour out upon you his abundant gifts. May he make you faithful and strong to do his will, that you may reign with him in glory. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. We're going to join together in a moment to sing our closing song. But before we do that, I want to say thank you again to Kyle for coming to share with us this morning. Kyle is going to be around after the service. He'll be out in the foyer, and he's got a lot of materials. Maybe you might like to take some of those away, maybe to pray and to reflect about some of the things we've heard about. And if you want to ask him about some of those experiences that he had when he was away in Central Asia, do please take the chance to speak to Kyle. And thank you so much to you for coming to be with us this morning. Also, after our service, we're going to ask people maybe just to give a little hand to set up some tables and chairs for our funeral service, which is on Tuesday. If you can help in that way, please, please do after the service. We're going to join together to sing our closing song, In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found.
Fight through fierce as drought and snow.
go in peace to love and serve the Lord.